Okay, we want to bring Christian greetings to each one this morning. We've heard a lot of wonderful things already and appreciate so much what was shared, both in Sunday school lesson and all of the service this morning. This morning I'd like to speak on Matthew chapter 13, a phrase that comes through there many times, and Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like," and then he lists, there are seven parables total in that passage, but Jesus is speaking of things that he uses parables. Earlier, he used parables to illustrate meanings, and this time he's using parables to be the basis for his message. And it is sometimes truth concealed, and sometimes, it's concealed to those that don't understand his mission, but it's also revealed to those that love him and want to follow him. We are presently studying the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount has some very pointed and very easy to understand truths. And I believe in many ways we could look at these like the seeds that are sown, that the sower sowed at the beginning of this passage. Before I start at the beginning, I'd like to read a few verses starting with verse 10. Of chapter 13, Matthew. And it says, "And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not." Verse 17, verse 16 says, "For blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear the things which ye hear, and have not heard them." There's a number of things that we can look at. Yesterday was a school sale, one of the biggest days of the year for our community here, and a lot of things happened. And with every one of the projects that are there, there's a story behind that project, and many of you know them, and some of us don't. Know the stories behind all the projects that are there. But if you were to be given an inside track on what all went on and why what all happened, it could be very interesting. But that's what Jesus is saying he's given to his people, to his disciples, here in this chapter when he's telling them, I'm speaking in parables. You can understand, but others cannot. And the sad part is this. He says, in verse 14, it says, "In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. And their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them." This was not something they were seeking. This is something they were avoiding. And Jesus was all willing to fill every need, and yet there were people there that only wanted what he could give them physically and were not interested in any spiritual truths or any change of heart or any change of direction for themselves. Anything that would cost them something, they were not interested in, but they were there for the bread and the fish, which is a tremendous story as well. All right, let's begin with verse 1, chapter 13. That same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. I thought that was very interesting, just those two verses. Right now I wish that that's the way it would be. I wish I was sitting and you were standing. But I guess we'll keep the old tradition here, and you sit and I'll stand. But there was Jesus sitting in a ship, and he was teaching. And, you know, the many ways that he taught, it must have been just a pleasure to hear him. After he ended all these parables, he went and taught in his own synagogue. Some places they say that they wondered at the gracious words which he spake. I think he must have had it a very engaging way of speaking, of having the audience hear what he was saying. But in this particular one, he was speaking to people that, by and large, understood part of what he was saying, but missed the main meanings of it. Okay, and here we're speaking of this is often called the parable of the sower, but as we understand it, it's speaking more of the soil than it is of the sower. Let's read on, verse 3, and it says, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, because they had no root, and they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell unto good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Words like this, this parable, was something that was very familiar to the people that he was speaking to, and they could understand every one of these illustrations. They could understand that a sower, when he was spreading the seed, would not get it all on the good ground. They understood that some of it would fall on the wayside, some of it would fall on the stony ground, some of it would fall among the thorns, and some of it would fall into the good ground. The thing that is important for us to do is to look carefully at ourselves and see where we are, because it's all important what kind of soil we have prepared this morning. I know there's stories of people that God has allowed time and again to hear the word of God, and they're exposed to truth again and again. Most of us have, or many of us have heard the gospel message all of our life. I don't remember when the first time was that I heard the gospel message. I can thank my parents for their faithfulness and taking us to church and living a life of godliness. But when the gospel message is not heeded, it becomes a wayside and hardened. And it does it in a personal sense. It does it in a national sense. It does it in it does it both personally and collectively. And if we would just take a moment to think of where the gospel started and where it spread and how it has affected lives in those areas and see where they are today, there's sometimes very little left of Christianity. Jerusalem, for example, hotbed of hatred. and then spreading out into Europe. I just recently came across a letter that Joe Overholt, it wasn't a letter, it was part of an article, just a quote. He was speaking to one of his students, and some of you know Joe Overholt, but he said, "Pray for poor lost Europe. Europe used to be a hotbed of fervency of Christianity. That's where the Reformation started. There were people that were sincere and earnest about their Christian life. That has become a wayside in a lot of places, and it's hardened. And it says that the gospel, Jesus used the illustration here that what is sown there, the devil comes and takes it away before it can bring forth root. That can happen in our own life. We're not saying that it is that way in every respect. I think God has his people, but as collectively it is that way. And then we see that happening here in our country as well, that there is a distinct coldness and a turning from God, and anything that has to do with true religion is being frowned on and is going to be, it's not going to be allowed in the public arena before long. But Jesus said, you know, there's some seed that is there. There's some that is sown on the stony ground. There's some that is sown in the thorny ground. Those all have their individual dangers. But there's some that is sown on the good ground that brings forth fruit. Verse 18, let's read the parable. "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh that wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth, because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. But he that received the seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, and which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, and some 30. Brother Andy this morning made a comment that the fruit of the Spirit is not commanded. It is a spontaneous action of Christ living within. And I believe that's very true. I believe that is exactly how that works. And it's going to be a blessing to those around. Seed that is sown on good. Verse 24, it says, "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. While the men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said, An enemy hath done this. His servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." You know, again, Jesus is talking sometimes in a veiled, with veiled meanings here. But as we can see through his own explanation and through other scriptures, we can see that he is speaking of the world, that the tares and the wheat are going to grow together. And it's not speaking of the church where the tares and the wheat are together necessarily, but it's in the world. And it's not the Christian's responsibility to to be violent in acts of eliminating the world. There's a story told of a church that was in a certain place, and there was a tavern just down the road from the church, and these people would come to church, and they would pray that the Lord would destroy that tavern. And one day it burned, and one person confided that that she put legs on her prayer, and so that was the answer. That was her way of answering their own prayer. There is just go get it done. But that's not what the Lord is calling us to do. He's not calling us to root out evil by acts of violence, but he is calling us to be fruit-bearing and to fill our place in that way. Verse 31. It says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in the field, which is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches of it. You know, I believe that as if we would look at Jesus speaking of what the church, what Christianity is going to do, I believe we can see a lot of parallels here, and birds are often considered to be a symbol of evil, and as the mustard tree grew, evil came into the church, as it speaks here, but it was big, it was very powerful. And the next one is very much like it. Verse 33, another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which the woman took and hid three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Those of you that are bakers, you know that yeast is very similar to, parallel to leaven. And as it goes throughout the loaf, it is... It has its influence throughout that. And leaven, again, is often used as a type of sin. And I don't know all the indications. I mean, everything that he has intended here, but we also know that the church as a whole became very powerful and was corrupted, even though Christ had his own followers. I believe all through time there was some there, but it had a powerful influence, and I believe that the church had a powerful influence in the affairs of the world in a large sense. Verse 34, all these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter dark sayings which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and the disciples came unto him and said, declare unto us the parable of the tares. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that has sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in their fire, so shall it be the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels and shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them that do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. And there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. There Jesus explains in it again the parable that he had just delivered them, but he's given it to the disciples in private. Then in verse 44, he says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net which was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into the vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus saith unto them, have ye understood all these things? They say unto him, yea, Lord. Then said Jesus unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed in the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. You know, I'm thankful for the way that we have the Bible given to us, and we have all these accounts and Jesus' teaching, and the fact that he says that these things are for us today. You know, he was teaching the multitudes on the seashore back then, but he's also teaching multitudes that we'll hear today. And when he was saying here that these, at the beginning we noticed that it says, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear the things which ye hear and have not heard them. And in Jesus' time, he knew the Old Testament prophecies. He knew all the things in detail, what he was going to, what was prophesied of his own coming. And he knew that there were many people that lived in times past, like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the patriarchs that were listed in Hebrews 11. He knew that all of these people were looking forward to a time of redemption and his own time here. But here were these people sitting right there, and they were so blessed because they could hear Jesus in person. And today, we're so blessed because of having the Word of God. I know that if I would ask any one of you, that you probably couldn't tell me how many copies of the Word of God that you have in your house. Maybe if you're newly married, you might have two. But probably you have many more than that. And if there's your family that has gone through number of copies, you probably don't know how many there is. And yet there's many people in the world today that don't even have one. Not even one. And so we're tremendously blessed even just to have the Word here physically. Now further, he says that if we take these truths and we apply it to our life, and then it's bringing forth fruit. If we hear it and don't act on it, don't do anything about it, the devil can actually take away even that which we have. And that's the serious part of it. And that's the thing I think we're going to be facing collectively as a whole in the years to come. That instead of having an open door and the Bible being appreciated, it's going to be more and more cold and rejected. But today we have that privilege of hearing the Word of God in a very definite way, and we have the privilege of making it a part of our life. We're all inspired by stories of people that have come to the Lord, maybe after many, many chances, if the word has finally soaked in and they accept that they become a part of his kingdom. The Lord works different ways through different people, and that might be, that can happen, that he can give somebody much time. But we dare not presume on that and think that we can just continue to reject and he will eventually, that his mercy will always be extended, because that's exactly what he's saying won't happen here. One of the clear things can be understood without a shadow of a doubt is that at the end there's going to be a separation of good and bad. And he says the bad is going to be cast into hell, the good is going to be carried to his kingdom there. And so this morning, as we appreciate what God has done for us and look at his blessings, even in times of trial and sorrow, we can see that the Lord is good and that his kingdom will not fail. In Mark, when he talks about the kingdoms, the gospel of the kingdom, it talks about the fact that this parable, he speaks of it specifically, and he says, "So shall ye understand all parables." And so I think Jesus has a tremendous message for us in these, and as we hear them, we can bring forth fruit and honor him and be a blessing to those around us. You know, I had to think of in a personal way. He says, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." That's not the one I wanted. It's the part where it says, "For you it is to know the kingdom of heaven." Oh, I'm sorry, it's in the last part of the chapter. I hadn't read that. It says, "It came to pass when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence, and he was coming to his own country and taught them in their own synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? And is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things?" And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not with honor, save in his own country and in his own house." And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. You know, here was the Jesus who, just a little bit later, stilled the storm, like Brother Joseph was reading this morning. And just a little bit later, He multiplied the bread and the fishes. But these people thought they knew him. They knew him, and how can you say all these things? And they were offended in him. And Jesus said that no prophet is without honor save in his own country. So, you know, I think that's a lesson for us as well. I know that we, in many ways, appreciate one another, but you know, when we have the loss of one that among us here, we realize how much that means to us, and we can grow in that as well. So this morning, we can rejoice in what Christ has done for us, and we can rejoice in that we can be a blessing, or we can our lives should reflect that love and be a blessing to those around us, bring forth that fruit that he intends. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear Lord, as we pause before you just now, we want to thank you for your mercies to us. We want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you for your clear message on the gospel of the kingdom. And the many parables that were given here in your word for our learning. Today we just pray that your will would be done in our lives, that we might bring honor and glory to your name. We ask it in your name. Amen.